This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk to you about the vital importance of understanding the reality of the existence of demons and entities and things of that nature. Now, for a lot of people, including a very large percentage of Christians, they give lip service to the reality of demons and principalities and powers and fallen angels, etc. They may even acknowledge that those entities exist. And there's a great danger when you talk about this subject of talking about it in a way that is unbalanced, not only logically and rationally, but unbalanced from the Word of God, from what Scripture says. And that's because the topic, just by itself, possesses a kind of tendency towards sensationalism. And the problem with that is that people get caught up in the sensational nature of this topic. They get caught up in all of that, and then they get diverted from the enormous amount of essential truth and biblical truth that God wants us to know. The whole point of this today on the Paul McGuire Report is that God wants us to know relatively in depth the nature of the supernatural world, the reality of demons, and fallen angels and beings of that nature. Because after spending decades of studying this, and the first decade or so that I studied this, I was personally deeply involved in the New Age movement and the occult. And as many of you know, my dual major at the University of Missouri was filmmaking, and then under the umbrella of the psychology department, the other major was a brand new field that they had started at the University of Missouri called altered states of consciousness. Now, when I reflect back on that choice of a major, I mean, I don't know if anybody in their right mind would major in altered states of consciousness, especially in today's world and in today's work environment. But I didn't pursue the traditional path. And some people could say, well, that's a mistake. Well, for me, by making the choice not to pursue the traditional path, which is playing, and I'm not knocking anybody for doing that, because I would say the overwhelming majority of people do that. And let's not kid ourselves, that reflects a certain amount of sanity and pragmatism. Well, I didn't choose the path of sanity or pragmatism. I chose those areas to major in because I was passionately studying those areas from a scientific perspective, I don't know, going back to like 10 years old. And you may say, well, how is that possible? Well, we had a thing called public libraries back then. There was no internet, so you had to go to the library and check out books. And I was a very intense reader of books. And I would read an enormous amount of books each year on science and every different branch of science that interested me. Science fiction authors, because science fiction can be a very interesting way of learning scientific principles from the vantage of reading a science fiction novel, like from people like Robert Heinlein, who wrote Stranger in a Strange Land, and Isaac Asimov, who wrote I, Robot, and other science fiction authors. And then another great way of learning about science is through reading the biographies, which I did, of every great scientist. So I devoured books on science because I wanted to be a scientist. And the specific fields of science that I was interested in, going back to really being a young boy, it was going to be either nuclear physics or some area of rocketry science, because I was very interested in the future and rockets and so on and so forth. And so I devoured books at the local library. And I read the books of every great scientist. I mean, there were a few I didn't read because they appeared to be boring, but you know, people like Albert Einstein and Wernher von Braun, the rocket scientist, and so on and so forth. Now, what happened after I spent a number of years, and I started this at like, I'm trying to be accurate. I probably started this pilgrimage at like 10 years old. So at a certain point, and I was raised, as many of you know, in a atheistic household, a secular humanist household, an existentialist household. And so I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in Christianity. And so I was looking also into science to find the answers to life. And after a number of years of studying science myself independently, I began to realize that in all the books I read, the science fiction books, the books, the biographies of the scientists, and then the various books on science, there was a complete absence of any discussion about the meaning of life. Is there a God? If there is a God, what is this God like? There was a real spiritual vacuum. Actually, it was an enormous spiritual vacuum. And so at a certain point, I began to drift over, as I would check out all these books from the library, in a search for answers, I began to drift over into the areas of the supernatural. It wasn't called the New Age movement back then, but I began to read New Age authors, you know, like Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet, studying yoga, practicing yoga, experimenting personally as a young boy in attempting to achieve the goals and realities of like Buddhism and yoga and Eastern mysticism. So I would personally experiment, and I would practice teachings of Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet. I would meditate, and I did this with the goal of achieving things like cosmic consciousness, seeing the great white light, becoming one with the universe, all of these esoteric terms. But I was very serious about it. And then at a certain point, when the counterculture erupted, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, that whole 60s thing, then I further expanded my, I did it from the perspective of a scientist. So, for example, after reading Aldous Huxley's book, Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception, where he talks about his own personal experiments with the psychedelic drug mescaline and his belief that by ingesting mescaline, he would travel through the doors of perception and find the answers to the meaning of life. So I read that book and many other books by Huxley, and that energized me to experiment with those things myself. And by that I mean I began to experiment with psychedelic drugs. And it was never for the purpose of getting high or getting stoned. That was not my goal. My goal was to approach it from the standpoint of the scientific method, to experiment, to uncover empirical evidence, et cetera, et cetera. So I talked to a friend of mine who, in high school, whose father was a doctor, and I managed to get my hands on pharmaceutical-grade mescaline. So I took mescaline with the goal of going through the doors of perception. And I experienced, you know, many different things. And then because I heard Dr. Timothy Leary, the Harvard professor who was advocating using LSD to expand your mind. So once again, I took LSD to experiment to see if LSD would help me expand my mind and open up the doors of perception. So by the time I got into college, you know, I had read hundreds of books on these, all of these subjects. I conducted many personal experiments. And so when I began to take courses in altered states of consciousness at the University of Missouri, I wasn't like starting from zero. I was starting from like a high level of understanding, which in the course of these experiments, I then began to realize that there was a supernatural world. There was a world when you move beyond the reality created by your senses, you know, seeing, hearing, etc. When you move beyond the reality of your senses, there is, it's an invisible world. I mean, you can call that world all the names you want to use to describe it. The invisible realm, a parallel universe, the spiritual world. But there is a supernatural world. And any Christian who takes their Bible seriously understands that there is a spiritual world. Because the Bible talks about the reality of this spiritual world, starting in Genesis and ending in the book of Revelation. So all of this stuff consumed me. Now, as time progressed, eventually I got saved. And by the way, everything I'm talking to you about now is in my new book, Power from On High, which will be coming. That's my vow to you. It's almost finished. And then it gets sent off to the printer, and then we've already inserted everybody who's pre-ordered it. We've already printed out your name and mailing address, and we're set up to mail the book out. But you're going to have to be patient because that time is not yet. It's coming quickly. So just thank you for your patience on that. So all of this stuff is in that book and more. Because what I began to realize is even before I was born again and saved, I began to realize there was a spiritual world and there were beings in this spiritual world. I certainly didn't call them demons back there when I wasn't saved. I didn't have a biblical worldview. I looked at things through the eyes of an atheist, and then I looked through things through the eyes of, it's really an impossible theological position, but I looked at things through the eyes of both simultaneously secular humanism and then Eastern mysticism and the New Age, which I know is, on a logical basis, a complete contradiction, but that's where I arrived. So, I'm not going to apologize for it, irrational or not, that was my position. So the more I studied, the more I realized the intense nature of this alternative reality that affects every single one of us. And I would say this, that within the Christian community, because I'm in the Christian community, I'm Christian, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm born again. So prior to that, I was looking at these things from the perspective of the occult and the New Age, etc. Now, in both cases, I began to realize with increasing frequency just how important it is to really understand the nature of this reality. And I would say overwhelmingly, Christians, for starters, the vast majority of them in today's world, either don't believe, they don't really believe what the Bible teaches about the supernatural. They don't really believe in the existence of things like demons, etc. And that presents a huge problem. Because currently, where we are in the United States of America, the current statistics and the current data by respected pollsters, it has told us that the fastest growing religion in America is witchcraft or Wicca. The growth of witchcraft or Wicca or paganism exponentially exceeds the growth of Christianity in America. So what that means is that Christianity is on a serious retreat, a serious decline in America. And simultaneously, witchcraft and paganism and the occult is attracting more and more people at a faster and faster rate. So witchcraft is growing and the occult is growing and Christianity is diminishing. And not only is Christianity diminishing, the belief in God's word, which is what makes a person a true Christian or an authentic Christian, the belief in God's word is eroding, it's shrinking. And so what you have is a all-pervasive unbelief that has infected the Christian culture, people who call themselves Christians, or even people who call themselves born again. There's been a massive infection, if you will, of theological unbelief or unbelief in the truthfulness of God's word. Now, people don't come out and say that necessarily, but when you talk with them and when you talk with the majority of Christians, not all of them, but when you talk to the majority of them, they reveal in their conversation with you that they don't really believe all that the Bible says. And if they don't like what the Bible says, they put themselves in the seat of God and they reject it. So let's focus in specifically on what the Bible says about the reality of a supernatural being known as Satan or Lucifer. Let's focus in on what the Bible has to say about the reality of demons, evil spirits, principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And the Bible depicts and describes and outlines an entire hierarchy of demons, fallen angels, territorial spirits, lower-ranking demons, and the Bible goes into detail about them and what they do. And so to summarize that, it means that every single person on planet Earth, and especially Christians, we're all engaged, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, is irrelevant. The reality remains true that we are all involved in the most intense and massive spiritual warfare, both in your individual life, within your family and your community, within your nation, and within planet Earth itself. In the unseen realm, in the invisible world, there is a raging spiritual warfare between Satan, the territorial spirits of Satan, the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, and other rankings of demons, and all the people that have sold their souls to Satan. They are in an all-out spiritual war with God, God's angels, and God's angels have a ranking system. And then all the people who have given their lives over to God, the true God, the biblical God, these two groups, those that are with Satan and those that are with God, are in an intense, all-out spiritual warfare in the invisible realm. And that's what's happening now. Now, to compound that reality, there's another reality that emerges concurrently with the first reality. And that is the reality that Bible prophecy, or the last days, or the end times, is emerging before our eyes faster and faster and faster as we move ever quickly into the last days. So the fact that Bible prophecy is exploding now at this time period, never before in human history have more Bible prophecies been fulfilled than right now. Okay, so the ability to recognize those things as facts, and by that I mean the fact that there is a Satan and demonic powers and fallen angels, the fact that there is a biblical God, the angels of God, and the children of God, human beings that are following God. That's a fact. And then there's the fact that we are moving ever quicker into the last days or the end of the age, and Bible prophecy is coming true before our eyes. These are our facts. Now, whether or not you are able to see that, whether or not you're able to recognize these facts, is totally contingent upon whether or not you read the Word of God or the Bible, and whether or not you read the Bible, believe the Bible, and study the Bible. Because our primary source of information is not secular books of any kind. It's not opinions. Our primary source of truth and information and data is God's Word, and what God's Word says about our reality and what God's Word says about where we are in our reality in terms of a time frame, and the fact that we're in the last days and these demonic powers do exist. The primary source for understanding and being aware of that comes from totally reading the Bible, the Word of God. Now, if your primary source of information is reading secular media or watching secular news media, then you're not going to be aware of anything I just talked about, because they are not viewing reality from an accurate perception, and they're not viewing reality from a truthful perception. They are viewing reality, all secular media, all secular society is looking at reality and approaching reality from a bias. Their bias is they don't believe in God. So they don't believe in Bible prophecy, they don't believe in demons, they don't believe in Satan, etc., etc. Their unbelief and their bias precludes them from accurately using their God-given perception to determine the accurate nature of our reality, which simply means everything that I just said to you. If you are a reader of the Word of God on a regular basis, then you would agree with probably the vast majority of what I just said to you. And the basis for your believing that is that you are someone who reads the Bible, which is the ultimate source of truth. So when we read the Bible, we understand the reality of spiritual warfare, the reality and existence of demons and angels, the reality of the fact that we're in the last days. Now, we have to take another step, because that's only the beginning of the journey. It's only the beginning of the journey. You have to keep pressing on. You have to keep following God, and the test regarding whether or not you're following God is whether or not you're reading God's Word, whether or not you believe what you're reading, and whether or not you're studying God's Word. So the reason there's so many Christians that don't understand the supernatural world is because they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in the existence of demons and entities and fallen angels. They don't believe we're living in the last days. I mean, I would say the majority of the church, the majority of the evangelical church in America and in Western type nations around the world is walking in a consciousness of unbelief. Therefore, they can't see accurately where we are in terms of the chronology of the last days, and they can't see accurately the true nature of what's really going on in their own lives and what's really going on all around them. So, what does that pervasive unbelief result in? It results in this. The majority of the Christian church, the majority of the evangelical community, has been immobilized and it has been paralyzed, and it has been robbed of power, spiritual power. It has been robbed of spiritual power because of its unbelief in the Word of God and because of its denial in the truthfulness of God's Word. So what that does is whether or not you want to believe that, in one sense is very important, but in the other sense, it's whether or not you want to believe it is irrelevant, because God does not need you to believe in anything for it to be so, for it to be the truth, for it to be in existence. In other words, it is mandatory for your salvation that you believe in Jesus Christ and the saving method, the saving message of Jesus Christ. It's imperative that you believe that if you want to be saved. But God doesn't become real because you choose to believe in him. God is already real. God is already true. God doesn't need your puny little human choice to believe in him in order for him to be God. I mean, for crying out loud, God is God completely independently of whether or not you're going to choose to believe in him. God has the power to perform miracles completely independently of whether or not you're going to believe in him. In other words, Jesus Christ is God, period. End of story. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to authenticate that. He doesn't need you to believe that in order for him to be God. He is God completely independently of your belief. Now, let me say this, and let's not get the two truths mixed up. Everything I just said is true. God is God, period. But in order to be saved, in order to receive eternal life, in order to have your sins forgiven, yes, in that area, you must believe in God. You must have your faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus will forgive you of your sins. You must believe that Jesus will come into your life and make you born again. So yes, in the sense of being saved, in the sense of releasing miracles, and in many other senses, the law of the kingdom of God states that you must have put your faith in God and you must believe in God for certain things to happen. So we have to distinguish that, though, accurately from the other fact, which happens simultaneously. The other fact is that God doesn't need you to give him the okay to be God. He's God, period. But if you want to be saved, if you want to use the supernatural power that God has given you, etc., then yes, you must have faith and you must believe in God. But let's not mix up those two truths, and let's not confuse those truths. I hope you're tracking with me on this. Okay, so where does this bring us? It brings us to the fact that according to the scripture, we live in the last days, and we are in the last days now. And we are moving ever further in the end of the age or the last days, just as the Bible has predicted. As such, there has been and is now a massive acceleration of the revealing and the emergence of prophetic events predicted supernaturally in the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, there are so many Bible prophecies coming true now in our lifetime, it's dizzying. Let me just name one. And this one is called God's Prophetic Super Sign. The fact that Israel was reborn as a nation in 1948 after 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, the Jews were kicked out of Israel when the Roman general Titus invaded Israel, slaughtered the Jews, tore down their temple, and then they sold the Jews into slavery all over the world. So for 2,000 years, the Jews have been removed by military force from being in the land of Israel. However, in 1948, which is, you know, almost 2,000 years after the Jews were kicked out of Jerusalem and Israel, in 1948, as predicted in the Word of God, as predicted by the Old Testament prophets, the Jews supernaturally and the Jews miraculously were returned by God in 1948 to the nation of Israel and to Jerusalem, just as the Bible supernaturally prophesied. That's just one prophecy. Now, in addition, the fact that we're now in the last days and the prophetic signs of the last days are exploding all around us, we learn from the Bible that in the last days, there's going to be a massive increase in evil, a massive increase in spiritual warfare with demons and fallen angels and a hierarchical ranking of principalities and powers and Satan, etc. The Bible tells us that in the last days there's going to be a massive increase of the invasion of actual demonic beings, because we're in the last days spiritual warfare leading up to a physical battle of Armageddon when Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth at the second coming. He descends on the Valley of Megiddo, which is near Jerusalem, and the Valley of Megiddo is the physical place where the war of Armageddon will occur, and Jesus Christ will destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, all those who receive the mark of the beast. Jesus Christ will conquer them and destroy them and send them into the lake of fire. And then he will set up his rulership of planet Earth from Jerusalem. And there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he will rule and reign planet Earth from Jerusalem. Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Help us get this message out. Help us spread the light and the truth of this message from the Word of God far and wide. And you can do that by praying for me, for this ministry, for spreading our links by sending them to different places and different websites and different places where people will hear them and read them and watch them. And then finally, help us by supporting and donating to this ministry so we can increase the expansion of our outreach. Because let's face it, America is a center nation in this great end times battle. And right now, America is in the grips of a spiritual warfare that is so intense with the demonic realm. And Satan has Satan and his followers have a very clear vision and a very evil plan for what they want to do with America. And you need to know what it is. I talk about it in my book, Power from On High. So visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Maguire is MCGUIRE, paulmaguire.us. And take advantage of the thousands of pages of free articles, the pictures, the Paul Maguire Report radio archives for you for free, the video archives for free. Go to our Roku channel for free and take advantage of all the teaching, the conferences, the messages I've given at Paradise Mountain Church are all available for you. And the vast majority of it is free at paulmaguire.us. This is Paul Maguire, and we'll be back in a moment. This is the Paul Maguire Report. I'm Paul Maguire. So as we look at our reality and our time period in history from the perspective of the Word of God and the Bible, we get a clear and a truthful and an accurate understanding of what's happening. And so one of the greatest errors and mistakes God's people have made in their relationship with God throughout human history, beginning with Adam and Eve, the big mistake the children of God make, the big mistake that the children of God today make in their relationship with God is unbelief and not reading God's word, not studying God's word, not believing God's word, and basically unbelief. So God teaches us in his word about the reality of many different kinds of entities and beings, Satan, fallen angels, demons, principalities, and powers. God teaches us about all of these different demonic entities, and he has an intentionality in doing that. There's a reason. Whenever God teaches us something, it's because it's important. Now, this theme regarding principalities and powers and demons, etc., is repeated over and over and over again from Genesis to Revelation. As such, it's obvious that this category of Bible teaching must be of paramount importance. And I'll be blunt with you, it is. Whether or not you understand this stuff about demons and fallen angels and how they interact in your life, the life of the nation you live in, families, etc., to the degree that you faithfully study this subject matter, to the degree that you faithfully believe God's word and understand God's word, and then do what he says about it, how to fight spiritual warfare, is to the degree that God's blessing will be on your life, your family, your nation, etc., etc. If you ignore this topic that God underscores as being one of great importance, then blessing will not come upon your life, your nation, your community, and your family. According to God's word, the opposite will happen. Blessing will be removed from your life, your family, your nation, etc. And instead of blessing, curses will be released upon your own life, your family's life, your nation's life, and other categories of people you know. So instead of blessing being received, a curse and curses will be imparted. Now, see, if you trip over that, if you stumble over that intellectually because you think you're too sophisticated to not believing it, you think you're too smart, you think you're smarter than God's word, and you think this is all like a fairy tale, that's called unbelief. And when you choose deliberately to not believe God's word, you're going to release cursing into your life. And you have to know this. Then, in addition to knowing that, you have to know why God's teaching you about the reality of these demons and fallen angels. God has a very important reason and reasons for wanting you to get up to speed on this topic. And the reason really is blatantly obvious. Whether you admit it or not, the reality is you are smack dab in the middle of the most intense spiritual warfare in the history of mankind, which means, bottom line, that you, your family, your loved ones, your community, your nation, are all in the middle of this raging spiritual warfare, which involves a spiritually violent clash in the invisible realm between demons, fallen angels, principalities and powers, and other forces of wickedness fighting God, God's angels, and God's people. And to the degree that you're faithful in learning the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to the degree that you're faithful in understanding this category of God's Word, is to the degree that you will be protected, to the degree that you will be victorious, to the degree that you will receive blessing, not only for yourself, but for your nation, your family, your children, your community. The conduit of blessing, the pathway of blessing into your life or the nation's life or your family's life, etc. The way blessing is released, the way blessing is allowed into your life or the collective life of any community is whether or not they're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ and whether they are operating on the basis of what God is teaching them in His Word. Are they doing what God is teaching them in the Word? So let's start with an essential fact, because it is a fact. It doesn't matter what this person says or that person says or what this expert says or what that expert says. All of that is irrelevant because they're not our final authority. Our final authority in all things is the Word of God. So God's Word says in Ephesians, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Okay, so this portion of Ephesians chapter 6 spells out, outlines to you very clearly the nature of the demonic beings that are violently attacking you in the spiritual realm and often in the physical realm. So when we get down to specifics, let's say somebody is in bondage to a reoccurring addiction to a powerful, dangerous drug like methamphetamine. And they've tried treatment centers and rehabilitation clinics and all kinds of stuff. And maybe all of those things work for a while. But then they keep being drawn back to it, and then they're chained or enslaved again to meth or whatever dangerous drug they're abusing. So let's remember what the intention is. The problem is that there's a drug that they're using, a very dangerous drug. We know what the problem is. Not all Christians know what the intention is. The intention is, if you read the Word of God, to kill and to take out the person that is abusing the dangerous drug like methamphetamine. Why? Because the Word of God says the devil goes about seeking those whom he may kill and destroy. So the devil's goal, the devil's military agenda in the spiritual war is to kill, is to murder, to destroy completely the lives of people, and specifically the lives of people that know God or who are going to come to know God sometime in the future. And so if you just attempt to fight this battle through psychology and drug treatment centers and clinics and whatever the drug equivalent is of the AA organization, I'm not knocking those things. I'm not saying those things are wrong. Those things can be used by God and are used by God and can be very effective. But if you ignore the primary spiritual weapon that God has given you, and you're placing your total reliance on other weapons that are not as powerful, then the outcome may not be good. It may not be good at all. So you have to make a readjustment in your strategy. You have to realign your strategy in this area of spiritual warfare. You have to realign your strategy to one that best aligns itself with what the Word of God says. So if the Word of God is telling us, and it is, that our fight, our battle, is not just against people and human situations and psychology, because the Word of God says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, people and human things. What we're really wrestling against, what we're really warring against, according to the Bible, is principalities and powers. Principalities and powers are high-level demonic beings. Then it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are all varying categories and rankings of demons. According to the Bible, the focal point of the spiritual battle and all the situations that we face is the ultimate battle that's occurring in the invisible realm and the spiritual realm with demons and demonic entities of various rankings. That's our central focus in the battle. If we never fight the battle on the primary battlefield, what do you think the prospect is for our winning, our defeating the devil and his demons? How likely are we to defeat the devil and his demons in any spiritual battle if we're failing to fight that battle on the main spiritual battlefield? Well, it minimizes our chances of victory. So when it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, what that is saying in the opening verse is this. Above everything, before you even start to fight these specific demonic entities, the critical thing that you and I have to do, that the church has to do, and by the way, the majority of the evangelical church and the majority of evangelical Christians are not only not fighting the battle on the right battlefield, but they're not doing it in the way that the Word of God specifically instructs us to do it. So let's break that open. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So before you start fighting demons, before you start binding demons, before you start to aggressively engage in targeted spiritual warfare against Satan and the demons that are attacking you or your loved ones, you must, if you're going to do it, this is about winning. If you don't want to win, then ignore what God is telling you. But if your plan is to win, then hear what the word of the Lord is saying. Read what the word of the Lord is saying, and that's your battle plan, man or woman. I don't know, you know. So it says, finally, my brethren, and that's men and women, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So how does that happen? How does that happen? When it comes right down to it, what is God saying here? What is God saying here? How does it happen that we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might? There's only one way, and that is taught to us in the Word of God. It's taught to us in the book of Acts. And what it says is that we must receive power from on high. So, our orders from God are, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So how do we get that power? Well, it tells us in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1, the way to get the power that we need, which is called power from on high. I mean, it's pretty hard to miss what God's saying when it's so blatantly obvious. The way to get power from on high. And then as it's further explained in the book of Acts, the way we get power from on high is to be clothed with power from on high. And what does that mean in its original root language? In order to receive power from on high, in order to be clothed with power from on high, that's talking about we need the dunamis. That's the root word. We need the dunamis, which means the dynamite power of God, which means we need the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. Dynamite as in the explosive, violent force of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit must detonate like dynamite, like dunamis, in the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. When the dunamis, the dynamite, detonates, it releases an explosive charge of the power and force of God, known as power from on high. And that releases a spiritually violent force that explodes in the spiritual world and wipes out demons, principalities and powers, devils, fallen angels, and demons of every ranking. So what is God saying? Well, we understand now. We go into battle after we have been clothed with power from on high. We don't go into battle naked. We have to be clothed with power from on high. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. You will be amazed, or maybe you wouldn't be amazed. I can't tell you the percentage But I would guess that the percentage of people that call themselves Bible-believing Christians or evangelical Christians or whatever, I would guess that that percentage of so-called Bible-believing Christians that are actually filled with power from on high, that have actually received the dunamis dynamite power from a power of God and are clothed with power from on high, I would guess that the actual percentage of Christians that have received and are walking in power from on high is only a relatively small percentage of Christians that are utilizing and clothed in that supernatural power of God or power from on high. So if it's only a small percentage, and it is a small percentage, if only a small percentage of God's people are accessing the supernatural power of God that he has specifically given them in order to defeat and to win the spiritual battles against the demonic realm and demons and rankings of demons, then it's obvious that the church, because it's not reading the Word of God, it's not believing the Word of God, it's not obeying the Word of God, it's obvious that the result has to be that the majority, percentage-wise, the majority of the church is powerless because it's minus, it's absent the power of God. It is not clothed with power from on high. It doesn't have the dunamis. It doesn't have power from on high, which is the all-important, necessary, explosive force of God that gives you the supernatural ability to defeat your invisible adversaries. And if you attempt to go in warfare against demons and hierarchical rankings of demons, if you attempt to go into warfare with them, but you don't have power from on high, you're not going to win. That's why God tells you in Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Okay, so America, right now, witchcraft is the fastest growing religion in America, along with paganism and the occult. It's far faster growing than Christianity. Why is that? That represents an accurate measurement revealing to us that we are temporarily losing a large percentage of the spiritual battle against Satan and the demons. And the result of that losing of that battle is that we're not seeing the numerical number of salvations that we should be. In fact, what we're seeing is the number of salvations being relatively small when contrasted with the number of conversions of people to witchcraft, paganism, and the occult. That doesn't represent victory in the spiritual realm. So our nation, America, is at the most critical point in human history. And on every level, in every place, if we're talking about the Great Reset, if we're talking about the coming Mark of the Beast technology, if we're talking about weaponized humanly engineered viruses that kill and destroy, if we're talking about economic crisis, if we're talking about riots and chaos, if we're talking about ultimately the end game, which is the total destruction of America and the radical transformation of America from a constitutionally free nation, and if we continue on our present path, we will lose a free America. You got to wake up. Some of you need to wake up because you're asleep. And if you're not asleep, you got to wake up your friends and people you know. I mean, it's far later in the day than most Christians realize. And I'm not trying to talk down to anyone listening. There are many of you that have woken up. You've woken up a long time ago. Many of you are longtime listeners to the Paul McGuire Report or other sources of information, and you are awake. But that's not enough. You've got to wake up the people you know. You have to pass it on. You have to spread the message. Because if there is not some form of an authentic biblical great awakening happening like now, then the end game for America, the intention of Satan, if you want to know what the intention of Satan and the principalities and powers and demons is for America, it's all written down. It's not hidden. I've quoted numerous sources in my new book and in my previous books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, like Mass Awakening, like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, all at paulmcguire.us. I have numerous quotes from the original sources of some of the world's most powerful leaders, many who are deeply, deeply involved in the occult, and they are coming right out and saying openly with their own words what their game plan is. And it is to destroy a Christian America, to take away the rights, the freedoms, and the liberties, and to make America a totalitarian communist state. Very similar to China, communist China as a model. That is not what God wants for America. And if you're confused about it, you can't afford to be confused about it. Because if you're confused about it, it means you're under a spell of some kind. Because that confusion will paralyze you. It will immobilize you. You need to be very clear in your own head that it is not God's plan for America to be destroyed. God had a plan for America from the very beginning, when the Pilgrims and Puritans, who were strong Bible-believing Christians, came to America. They laid out a master plan for America to be used mightily by God in the last days to reach the world with the gospel, to spread the message of Jesus Christ, to spread and communicate the Bible all around the world in the last days. That was why America was specifically raised up and specifically given things like freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech, etc. These just didn't randomly become freedoms that we have. No other nation has these freedoms. You read the fake freedoms of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights or the European Union Declaration of Human Rights. Read those rights, and you'll see it for what it is. It's a con job. It's a betrayal. It's a seduction. You sign on to the UN Convention of Human Rights or to the EU's Declaration of Human Rights. If you get sucker punched and sign on to that game, you will live in a totalitarian prison like China. Because I've read those rights, and as you read, they're in a numerical order. So higher up in the numerical order, they tell you that we're going to give you freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. So you go, oh, that's great. That sounds like America. No, it isn't, because as you continue on down the page and the numbers get higher and higher, you will actually read with your own eyes how they have put it in writing, but they're counting on nobody actually reading it. They put it in their own writing that if you dare to criticize the European Union or the UN in any way, or even question question it, that they have the right to take away all the rights that they gave you. They have the right to go back in time and retroactively take away your rights. They have the right to throw you in prison. They have the right to take away all your money and punish you in many severe ways. Now, how could they do that if they tell you up front that you we're going to protect your rights, just like in America? You're going to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. But then you go down the list of their rights, and then they say, right in front of your face, they're betting on the stupidity of people. And so right in front of your face, they tell you, if you disagree with them, if you criticize them, if you want to make some suggestions or changes, if you write about it, if you speak out about it, they say, well, now we have the right to take away all the rights we gave you. And worse, we can fine you. We can go back 30 years and fine you. We can throw you in prison for something you said 20 years ago. I mean, talk about evil. Talk about lying. Talk about seduction. That's demonic. You know what that is? That's the spirit of Antichrist at work. Those are lies that are so egregious that they should be criminal. But Satan wants the same thing for America. And right now, with the global reset and the mark of the beast system, and the weaponization and using vaccination as a cover for totalitarian measures, America, the design and intent of Satan for America is to turn it into a brutal totalitarian state like communist China. And then they want to make the whole world. Read Klaus Schwab and his stupid book. Well, it's not a stupid book. It's demonically clever because it's a bunch of lies. The Fourth Industrial Revolution and all the promises about, his quote from the book, Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. He says, here's what he said. You will own nothing, but you will never be happier in your whole life. That's like a George Orwell Big Brother statement. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. He says, you will own nothing. That's communism. That's Marxism. You will own nothing, but you will never be happier in your life. Now, just to expose what a lie that is the exact same seduction, the exact same verbiage of communism and Marxism. They promised a workers' paradise, but they didn't deliver on it. And then you need to look at the obvious. The people behind all this, like Klaus Schwab and the globalist elite, the people that are telling you you're going to own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your whole life, look at their lives. They own everything. They own 99% of the wealth on planet Earth, but they only represent 1% of the population. Yet, economically, the globalist elite, which represents only 1% of the population, the globalist elite own 99% of the wealth. So they themselves have no intention of living by what they're going to force you to live by and live under. They're going to continue to own everything. And in the last 5 years, their wealth has grown so exponentially that the amount of trillionaires and super billionaires on planet Earth has never been greater. But it's a small percentage of the people that keep getting wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, and they keep owning more and more and more. They have no intention. Listen, They have no intention in your wildest imagination of giving up anything. They're not going to give up anything that they own. That statement is a lie. So what's behind it? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's Satan. It's a satanic movement. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. And right now, Satan is temporarily winning the war because he has blinded God's people because they're not reading his word, they're not believing his word, and they're not acting on his word. The way we win is to use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The way we win is to engage in spiritual warfare clothed with power from on high, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God has given us supernatural weapons that are far, far more powerful than anything the globalist elite, the Luciferian elite have. They have all kinds of technology and weapons. But God has given his people, that's you and me, weapons that are so much more powerful than these evil dictators and these totalitarians. But the weapons aren't going to do us any good if we don't know about them and we don't know how to use them. And the time to use them is not after you're in a totalitarian state, having your bodily organs harvested on the black market and you're sitting chained to the wall in a prison cell. That's not the time. The time to use your spiritual weapons is now. So we need to wake up, we need to pull together, and we need, most of all, to move in the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We need to do it together. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.